All right, everyone, welcome. Today we have Dana Hahn here with us. Welcome, Dana. She is the channel manager for Logitech Video Collaboration. And some of her hobbies and interests are that she likes CrossFit, weightlifting, cooking, and I hope she cooks for us later. We'll have to get her to Uber Eats us something, live music, and podcasts. She's been in the audiovisual and IT industry for 20 years, and we are so happy to have her on today. Welcome, Dana.
Woo! Thanks so much, Allison and Bertine. It's awesome to be here. I appreciate you guys asking me on.
No worries. We're excited.
So happy you could be here. I know we have worked with you for, I don't want to say quite a while, but it's been a number of years for sure at various different roles, and we're happy that you stayed in the industry and have learned to, or I guess have navigated throughout different positions. We're going to jump right into it with some, I always call them juicy questions. I don't know why I use that phrase.
It's like things that we would want to ask somebody, but sometimes we can't, we don't have the chance to do it. So,
yeah. Personally, I love this question because I feel like it can really tell you a lot about someone, because sometimes you never know a lot about people just day to day. What occupation other than your own would you like to try?
So I would say like a digital content creator. So in the past, I had a YouTube channel. And I found that really fun. My background, like I went to school for broadcast journalism and I never really didn't really use it. I definitely, when I was creating the YouTube videos and stuff like that, I used the editing software. It was just like, you know, a lot of creativity and coming up with different ideas and that sort of thing. And then when COVID hit, I think it was like a little bit before COVID, I kind of stopped doing it. I just didn't have enough time to keep doing it. But it was definitely something that I was interested in. I felt like I got a lot of my creativity out on it. And then the reason I'm excited about this podcast is I was like, over COVID, I was like, oh yeah, I should definitely do a podcast or like come up with an idea. Same thing. It's like, if you know, it's not even about finding time, it's about making time, right? Like you have to schedule it and make sure you do it. I enjoy stuff like that. And like I said, with the journalism background that I had, I'm curious. I love to ask people questions, that sort of thing. So I feel like that would be super fun.
So you're going to end up asking us questions then.
Tables have turned, Allison. I'm a big YouTube fan too, but I watch different things on YouTube and they're very specialized. Like I watch cleaning videos. I think I mentioned this before, but I love cleaning videos and there's a huge audience for it, right? It's like crazy.
And
that like when I hear some of the creators talk about what it takes to get a video out, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of editing. And then with privacy issues, like they have to use certain kind of music on it, otherwise they can get, you know, in trouble for that. So there's a lot that goes into it. So even if they're putting out a 10-minute video, it could be 4 hours of content that they've kind of like, you know, kind of compressed to 10 minutes, and it takes a lot, like even voiceovers and things like that. So I'm like, you have to give them props because that's amazing that they can do it. So yeah, my creativity lies somewhere else. And we don't know where that is yet, but we'll find it.
I got into YouTube back this is early when people started doing beauty stuff on YouTube and showing you how to do different things. And that's how it started. But now I definitely watch a lot more different things. Like I listen to podcasts, but I also like to watch them on if they have it. I prefer to watch it because I'm like, oh, that's I don't know. I just find it interesting to see people.
Yeah, no, I agree. And now I started listening to I don't drive a lot anymore. But when I do, I feel like listening to a podcast so much better than listening to music. I used to listen to music when I was driving, but now I listen to podcasts and I feel like it just helps like get me like from A to B without me even thinking about it. It's like you're just so in a trance just listening to the podcast. But like they're good because like you said, you can watch them and then you can hear them, and it's just kind of cool to there's like millions and millions of types of podcasts too. Like I've seen the TED Talk ones and I've seen like some of the people that I follow on social media, they have theirs, but there's a lot. So we're gonna get on the top two, right, Allison?
Yeah, I hope so.
Number one this week in Canada. No, I'm kidding. So I have a question for you. What would you do if you had enough money for the rest of your life and you didn't have to work?
Yeah. So I probably would have given you a way different answer like 2 years ago or whatever before all this stuff happened. But now, I thought about it around a year ago. And my dad had a hobby farm when I was a kid, and I would love to have like a hobby farm. I wouldn't want to be too far away from the city, but within reasonable distance. And definitely, some of my favorite childhood memories is like, I would go into the garden as a kid and like pick peas off of the stem and like eat peas right off of it and things like that, like having like a raspberry bush and all of those things. I'm just like, so much over this time period like makes me long for stuff like that, where it's simple. It's a lot of work, but it's also like a way of life. And yes, it's a way of life that's super distilled down to like, what do I really need? You know what I mean? And it's that like the ability to sustain yourself on your own, right? So, you know, even things like having your own cattle, that sort of thing. Like, we had those as kids. My own chickens, I would love that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, you live in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
So I know in Mississauga, they actually allow you now to have backyard chicken, like, I guess, hens.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that come out and I was like, oh, like, but the thing is like, we have winter. Like, I don't know enough myself to like know how to properly take care of that. But like, I started getting, like I was mentioning before, thanks to Frankie Flowers, I started gardening.
Yeah.
And you're right, that is so peaceful and calming. And we literally eat everything that we grow.
Yeah,
it's and the kids like, love it. So
yeah, especially because I love cooking, and I mean, I don't know if I would go so far as to like open up a complete restaurant, but like that farm to table stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I just find that so such a different lifestyle than what I'm used to now, and a bit more relaxed. And like, yeah, that would be, I could see myself doing that. It's actually more of like the long term retirement plan.
Well, if you ever did decide to follow that dream, Allison and I would be more than happy to come by your restaurant, your farm to table restaurant, and be able to eat there and bring customers.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks.
Allison's honestly getting hungry. I know that.
Yeah. And that sounds so good, because I'm just thinking, like, what if you just made like a pizza, handmade pizza dough, and then you just like added in the toppings from your garden, and then you made like homemade pizza sauce or pasta sauce, homemade pasta sauce. Oh my gosh, I can taste it in my mouth. Or like homemade pesto.
Yeah, so homemade pasta actually is really good to have as well too. Like, I've done that. I haven't done it in years, but it is, when you do it, when you make everything from scratch, it's so, so good. And for me, like right now, I'm trying to work off some of the COVID pounds. But what I try to do, if I'm going to have something that's like a splurge, I'm like, this has to be the best thing, like the best. It has to be worth it. If it's something that's not delicious, why? What's the point?
Exactly. No, I know, homemade pasta, like you, when you have it fresh, it's like you don't like the box stuff anymore. But it's just the time to like, it's not hard to make it, but it's like you just have to like do it and prep it ahead of time. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so easy to reach into your pantry and just get like a box of pasta. But I love that. That dream that you have of having a farm, because I think it's so peaceful. And I agree, like, things have changed so much that you really do appreciate those things. And when you finish work at the end of the day, you want to go back to a place where you can truly, truly relax. Right. Mm-hmm. And if that's what brings you joy, then that's like the most amazing thing. And just having that property as well is nice, instead of just like literally being right next to your neighbor.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's like in condo living right now, like you're on top of each other, and like elevator wait times and all of that stuff. It's just like it's sometimes it's a hindrance to like even leave your condo, because you're like, oh, it's move-in time. So one of the elevators is in service, and we have three elevators in my building, but one of the elevators has been down since like August. And then, you know, around the beginning of the month, people are moving in and out. So something's in service, and it's just like, a lot of times I'm on the 12th floor, so I'll walk down, but I'm not prepared to walk up 12 flights of stairs.
It's like, what? Walking down is fine, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's nothing.
12. Yeah. Cause it goes by quick.
It does. It does.
That's horrifying.
I will say though, what's it called? I worked somewhere where, they would have fire drills all the time. Well, not all the time, like on a regular basis, a couple times a year. And I remember the first time I had to walk down I think it was 27 flights of stairs.
Oh yeah.
And my calves were like, and I work out pretty regularly. My calves were sore for the next few days. Right.
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine.
I would get so dizzy. That's the only thing I can think of. Because I almost never take the elevator in my building because I'm on the second floor. So literally it's like two flights of stairs.
Yeah.
The only ever time I take it is when we do groceries, which is like once a week, and you just have like the cart of stuff. But my building only has 10 or 11 floors. So Dana would be like in the sky here. My goodness.
Well, it's funny because when I first started dating my husband, he used to do that CN Tower climb, but he used to run it. So I was just like, why?
I don't like the word run because I don't like running.
I would be walking until you saw me in the elevator going up. Hey guys, what took you so long?
But like, also I can just imagine like being like trapped in a stairwell for 20 minutes. Sounds like a nightmare to me. No, it honestly does. Like I would not do that on my own will.
So you call a friend.
What led you to be wanting to be in the AV industry? Did you set out looking at an educational program, or did you just jump right into it?
So I wouldn't say I jumped into it, kind of fell into it. So I started out like my first job in the industry was actually B2B telemarketing for a really small IO manufacturer. I was there for a little while. Then I went to a cables distributor, and then I went to an IT reseller. And with like when I was at the IT reseller, they sold everything. So I got exposed to everything. So I was inside sales, and I went to another IT reseller. I was field sales, and then I went to a distributor. And when I was at the distributor, that's when what we call Microsoft Teams now was called BPOS, which is Business Productivity Suite. And I was like, oh, that's really cool and interesting. And the distributor I was at, they were looking for somebody to do business development for basically audio video, like it was a combo of audio video. And I was like, yeah, I think that's cool. Like I could see that being something I'm interested in, because the role I had there when I first started was database. And I'm like, this is like dry stuff. And yeah, it got me super interested. And it's crazy like how it's evolved since then to now, and now how really ubiquitous video has become over the pandemic, right? Like everybody has used it, everybody's used to using it, and the way the platforms have come out, and like Zoom came from a bunch of people that were at Cisco and basically like, hey, we can do this better, and Teams has evolved just so much, and it's progressing so quickly, and I definitely see with a lot of people talking about, you know, what is the return to the work going to look like? A majority of at least, you know, the conversations I have where my partners are talking about their end customers, they're like, yeah, they might be in the office 60% of the time. That really seems like the trend. So video conferencing is going to really have to be there for all meetings for this hybrid work to actually work.
No, for sure. I remember like begging clients to understand VC just not a long time ago either, and trying to adapt to it. And they're like, oh, I don't know, there's not really a need. And then we talked about traveling as one of the ROIs, and that was a big selling point. But now it's like, okay, everyone, there's not even a question as to whether or not it's needed. It's just like, how much of it do we need, and how can we quickly roll that across, you know, multiple locations and multiple, you know, provinces and things like that across the world, really. But it's funny how, like, before it was just like, video, don't think we need it. And now it's like, video, we need it now. We need to see everybody right now.
Exactly. And I think that, like, a benefit that, you know, because I was definitely in the industry where people were like, I don't know if we need this. Obviously, things when I first started were a lot more expensive. A lot of product has come down channel, so it's not as expensive. And really, it allows for such great work-life balance, right? So, I mean, I know when things are, you know, more back to normal, our company has said, yeah, you're still going to travel for work, like, obviously, but it's not going to be to the same extent because you don't need to, right? I think you do need face-to-face time with people, like sales reps like myself or social animals. So we want that interaction in person, but realistically, I don't see us really, you know, everything is going to be in person. It's still going to be like, hey, you know, at least, you know, once a quarter, I'll probably do some travel, that sort of thing, and get out and see my partners that have different locations across the country. But the work-life balance that you end up getting utilizing video conferencing is pretty incredible.
Yeah, no, I know, like, a lot of people, manufacturer reps who spend a lot of time in the past traveling, and, like, really being away from their families, really being away from friends, and then just spending half your time in airports. It's like, it's not even productive, right? And then obviously when you're in the airplane, and I don't even know, like, when the last time I was in an airplane, but I'm trying to remember. I mean, some airplanes did have, you know, access to Wi-Fi, but a lot of the times they didn't. And so you're sitting in there for hours doing nothing and you're not productive. Yeah. Now it's like you can still have that. I mean, it's not the same as being in person, but you can cut it back, right? Yeah. You can cut it back. So it's true. Yeah, it's so crazy how far we've come in, like, literally 2 years. It's insane.
Yeah.
Airplanes are not productive. I don't know how people can do stuff on them. I tried to have a meeting one time on the plane. It lasted like 5 minutes.
I'm too busy cleaning around.
You know what, Bertina? I actually pictured, like, you out with
where's my Lysol wipes, hand sanitizer going? And that was before all this happened. So I can just imagine myself on a plane. Because you know what? Like, every time I fly, I always get sick. Do you know what I mean? Like, I always got sick afterwards. And I was like, what is it? And I realized, like, it's probably from the airplane, probably most likely, because it's, you know, you're touching, there's a lot of touch points and stuff like that. But I mean, I was like that before, but now I'm just picturing myself traveling with, like, my cleaning caddy, just like walking into the airplane and going, hey, does anybody need a wipe?
When I was traveling a ton for work, one of the things that I did was I would always, as soon as I got on the airplane, I would always take some oil of oregano and put it under my tongue. And I found that actually cut down a lot.
Isn't that intense? That's so intense, yeah. Right?
It is. Oh my gosh. It's like, but it opens up your lung passages and everything.
You know what? I said that to someone once and I haven't probably taken it in years. And then they're like, you're not supposed to ingest it. So I don't know if it's actually, like, and I mean, or maybe you have to buy a certain brand, but taking it. And honestly, I feel like it actually worked, as crazy as it is. But then you smell, like, your breath smells like pasta for like hours.
And hey, you know what? I wouldn't mind sitting next to someone that smelled like pasta versus like what I've smelled in the past before. So I'll take that over anything else.
You mean garlic and Caesar dressing?
Yeah, again, garlic, something I would rather enjoy than other unpleasant odors I've been around in an airplane. So I'll take that any day.
Just imagine you just sitting there and then all of a sudden you're like, I guess they're serving pasta today on the plane.
Makes you cozy up to the person next to you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's not so bad. So I'm moving on to the next question. And I know you mentioned you've been in the industry for 20 years and you started out pretty young. But what is some of the advice that you would give your younger self if you could go back?
Yeah, so definitely I would say take time for, like, work-life balance when I was, you know, initially starting out, building out my career. I was like, just go, go, go. You know, sales is something that's very easy. Once you get, like, start making money, you're like, oh, I can, the more I work, the more money I make. So you're like, if you're motivated that way, you're going to work more. And I had at one point a grandfather I wasn't close with. He passed away and I got a phone call from a relative and I was like, OK, when's the funeral? OK, I'll be there, whatever. You know what I mean? And then I just went back to work and I didn't take the time like it was, you know what I mean? Somebody that was in my life for a very long time. And I didn't take the time to like really digest it. I think it's because we didn't have a super close relationship. So I was just like been disconnected from for a while. And I was just like, oh, you know what? I'm fine. I can whatever power through this. And then, you know, years later, I'm like, companies give you time off for stuff like this for a reason, because you do need that time. You do need the ability to say, hey, listen, I have to grieve for this person. I have to go. There's a process that you have to go through. And I, you know, I definitely would have told myself, listen, you might not feel it right away, but long term, it's probably going to help you out, work through some feelings if you try and work through them earlier rather than just be like, ah, whatever, I'll deal with that later.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like with grief, like it's never right away. Sometimes where you feel it, it can hit you when you're not even expecting it. And that you need that time to like get through stuff. And it's no, it's true. And yeah, taking time out for yourself is no matter what is important. Yeah. And disconnecting.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like people don't really understand that until I don't want to say maybe it's too late, but they've experienced so much of it. You know what I mean? Like they're just like literally working themselves to the bone. And I mean, I don't even think about that all the time either. Right. But I think it's a really important thing for a lot of people to consciously remember. OK, you have to like take time to disconnect. But mm-hmm. It's also really hard. I mean, we're digital now. Right.
So,
yeah.
Especially like on the sales side of things, it's like, if I'm not responding quick enough, then I'm not like, there's a chance it's competitive marketplace. There's a chance they could go to somebody that's going to respond quicker. Right. So we do here at Logitech have a lot of, you know, we have these Logitech long weekends. We got extra day off like all during COVID for last year for every single month. And they called it like Logitech Monday, I think it was, or yeah. Logitech Monday, because yeah, it was always on Monday last year. Now it's Logitech long weekend. And it's like, you, if the entire company is shut down, it does actually super eliminate the amount of emails that you get. And then, you know, just given my role, I try to monitor it, and then I really try to be like, okay, do I like, is this something that I have to reply to today? Or can it wait until this day is over or this long weekend is over? If it's something that I feel like, you know what I mean, it's impending for a big deal, then obviously I'm going to answer it right away. But if it's something that can take, you know, can take a little minute to answer, I'll give it a minute.
Yeah. And I think like with us using like our personal devices as work devices, it's hard to sometimes get away from that because you'll still see something pop up and you're like, oh, let me just have a quick look. And the next thing you know, you're scrolling through thousands and thousands of emails and you're like, oh, let me just answer this one. Next thing you know, it's 2 hours later and your spouse is waiting in the car with the kids. I mean, or never mind. It's like, wait, we're supposed to leave 2 hours ago. Just one more email. No, I think you're right. Like, you really need to disconnect. And hopefully, I think that people over the last 2 years have realized that, okay, work is work, mm-hmm. right? But then at the end of the day, there's like so much other important stuff going up that we all have to be more understanding.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's also good for us to set expectations for our teams and like to say, okay, if you don't respond in an hour, that's not a big deal. Like people have so much going on. And now that people are at home more, you know, they're working more in a way because you're like literally glued to their desk, right? In a weird way. So we have to be more compassionate, I guess. and understanding.
Those are some really great points, and I think we all need to take it into consideration. And now we're going to go on to a piece of advice we're going to get from Dana. What is your favorite productivity hack?
So I'm big on having templates. Like for QBRs, I have business review templates that I put together. And then like everyday questions that I get asked a lot, like super common questions, I will have an email template, and it just makes things so much easier to respond to, especially if it's sometimes there's everyday questions that you get and it's not like a simple one line answer. It's not like, oh, I can just type this out. It's like, okay, it's a thing. And then I have to put in links to different information, and I make sure that I have the most frequent stuff I have saved in a template. So that way I'm able to respond to those questions like as quick as possible. Sometimes it's just a matter of like putting an attachment in and then being like, oh, okay, there's the info for you. Go ahead with it. Right. And that actually really helps too with being able to get back to people quickly.
That's actually really good. I need to make those myself, because I don't do that. Sometimes I'm like, I'm all over the place, but no, that's good. That's good advice. I mean, you guys already know, I think my productivity hack is like just trying to multitask things while I'm waiting for something else. I don't have patience. Like if I'm waiting for something to warm up, like I just can't sit there and just stare at the appliance. So like I try to time myself with whatever is happening to get something done that I need to.
You know what? How many times have you burned something? Because I feel like I would try that and I would probably burn water, toast.
No, like if I put the kettle on, right? Say I'm making a cup of coffee. I literally put the kettle on and I go, okay, I have about, I don't know, a minute. So I'm just going to zoom around and answer that email or, you know, check my phone or put the clothes in the, I don't know, whatever I'm doing at the time. And I try to time myself. And like, you actually, like, I just feel like you're just standing there. I can't wait, like, which is bad. Like, I don't have that patience in terms of like, if I feel like I'm doing nothing, I don't like being idle. I just like keep moving. What makes you feel inspired or like your best self? Like,
so I'm definitely early riser, generally speaking. I find I like to wake up early. I like to watch the sunrise, have a cup of coffee, get in some kind of physical activity, whether that is just like going for a walk in the morning or going to the gym in the morning. And then I like the routine of like getting ready in the morning. And during COVID, I would say the majority of the time, because I learned pretty quickly that if you just like roll out of bed, you don't feel good. Right. Yeah. So a majority of the time I'd be like, OK, now I'm going to, you know, do my makeup, do my hair. I watched my mom do that like as I was a kid. And I just feel like that routine helps you get ready for the day. And it makes me feel really good because I'm like, OK, I put some effort into it. I'm not like just rolling out of bed and, you know, pajama bottoms on and stuff like that. Trust me, I'm usually wearing Lululemons, but you know what I mean? It's like I took the time to get myself prepared and get myself like I feel presentable and I feel fresh.
No, it's true. You have to get into that mindset because we don't have that anymore where we have that immediate rush where we're getting ready for work and then, you know, commuting somewhere. And so we give ourselves something to look forward to. But now we're just like literally getting out of bed. And if you don't have to leave the house, you're not leaving the house in the morning and you're just coming down to your work or moving around to your office. It is so true. Like you should pretend like you're actually going somewhere because it helps you like feel productive too. Right. And I also feel like it doesn't make you lazy. Yeah. Because like the first few months is just like, oh my gosh, like, it's like you sleep in later. For us, the kids weren't really going to school, so we're like, okay, we don't have to get up exactly really super early. But now that the kids are going to school, it's like, oh my gosh, like we have to get out of the house. This is good. And I'm like, I'm driving more now, and I feel like that's really good to take care of yourself, like to actually move around and have somewhere to go. And like I could count on my hand last year like how many times I actually drove on one hand last year.
Yeah.
I didn't drive. And if we're going somewhere, my husband would drive. But now it's like I'm making myself consciously go out because you can get stuck in a rut where you're not taking care of yourself, and it's actually really good for you mentally to have something to look forward to, right?
Yeah, it definitely makes you feel good to get out there. And even like with the longer days and stuff, depending on like what my calendar is like, I try to, because I'm a person, I definitely need like sunshine in my life. So I'll try to make a point of getting out for a walk when there's actually sunshine out. If I can, you know, I have little different blocks in my day too for some things. So if somebody doesn't book me, right, because it's blocked, I will do that. I'll like go for a walk and just get some sunshine in me, because it just feels like it makes me feel better. Like the same thing when you go outside and you're just like, oh, okay. Like one of the days I ran to Costco in the morning because I didn't have anything planned, and I'm like, I dread Costco on a Saturday. Like I would rather blow my brains out than go to Costco on a Saturday.
Do you know like how many fights are in the parking lot? Like, people are ready to fight when they get to Costco.
Really?
No, they are. Like I mean, I live in Mississauga. And people, it's like, you can't go, well, there's in Mississauga, there's never a good time to go to Costco because it's always busy. It's always hectic. It's like insane. Like the lines ups are like around the store, but people are already angry when they get there. They're like, they're prepared for a fight. People are for parking spaces, for carts. You know, somebody comes in a different direction now than where people are lining up. They feel like people are cutting in. So it's just a lot. So I'm like, do I really need to go to Costco? Can I buy? Because now Costco, you can do online as well.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I need to, I'm like, I don't know if I feel like I'm ready. I don't think I'm ready for a fight today. Like I'm not. Yeah. I'm not gonna put on my boxy gloves. But like it is very, very chaotic there.
All right. I hope we get some laughs out of this next question, because I think it's pretty funny, and you know, hopefully Dana tells the truth. What was the last thing you Googled before this interview?
Let me look here.
Okay, she's checking, everybody. She's checking.
Oh, it was for, it's called Omnipod Horizon, Canada. So I'm type 1 diabetic, so I wear an insulin pump. And I recently got an email from Omnipod saying you have 90 days and your warranty is running out. And what's it called? So this Horizon is like a loop system. So basically what it does, it works with a continuous glucose monitor, and then it's supposed to be like fully automated. So basically, like right now there's an app on my phone. I scan, like I'll scan my blood sugar, and then I'll be like, oh, okay, my blood sugar is XYZ. I gotta what is it right now? Oh, it's good. So anyways, my blood sugar right now is 5.9. But say it was like higher, and I'm like, oh, I gotta whatever, give myself insulin. Then I have to come into my pod and whatever. The new product that they've been working on this for a while, because I got my insulin pump 5 years ago, and my nurse at the time told me about this. It's actually, eventually they're working on getting something where it will just work with your cell phone. There'll be an application on your cell phone, etc. And basically everything with really, I would say probably anything healthcare related, things get approved in the FDA first, and then it comes to Canada after the fact, right? So I was trying to figure out, because like clinical trials on this started like in 2019. That's when I first heard about it and everything. And other manufacturers of different pumps started coming out with this earlier. And now whatever, I was trying to figure out, because mine warranty is up. So I'm like, okay, do I wait for the new system to come out, or do I have enough time to wait for the new system, or do I get like the intern step one? So I was just like Googling to research and figure out what I'm going to do, but I'm pretty excited. Like that's really cool technology, because I won't have to make, there's so much time, like headspace that is utilized by thinking about, oh, yeah, I check my blood sugar, then I have to do this. It's really actually going to be automated, where people don't have to think about things. So I'm a grown adult, right? So, I mean, me to make these decisions, it's relatively easy. But typically, people get type 1 diabetes when they're a child. And then they have to make the decision, or their caregiver has to make the decision, where this takes away the decision-making process. So it's really a technology that is incredible. And I'm excited about, like, I know people that have the other insulin pumps that already have the, they call it a closed loop system, where essentially your continuous glucose monitor is reading whatever your glucose is. And then it is telling your insulin pump, hey, I noticed that her insulin is high. Okay. Or her blood sugar is high. We're going to automatically give her insulin. So that I've been thinking about that because of the warranty thing. I'm like, okay, what do I wait or what do I do now? So I have to.
That's like really cool. Yeah. That's really cool because like I have a family of diabetics and I know the struggle. It's like, it's a lot. It's a lot and it's time consuming, but it's also scary. Like if you're not careful and it's a lot they have to deal with. So that's like actually really cool. I didn't know about that. Yeah. I'm scared to look at what yours is probably so, you know, productive and something that's important. If I look at my phone, I don't even know what I'm going to find in there, but I'm going to assume it's going to be something ridiculous. And it is. See,
the last Google. Thing.
Yeah. The last thing I Googled, I don't even know if I should be saying this out loud. Is something called a tasseled wobble gong. And
what?
It's a carpet shark. I don't know if you can see it on my phone.
Carpet shark?
It's a shark that no one knows about, and it's called a tasseled wobble gong. It's a T-A-S-S-E.
So, is this a creature or something to clean your
it's
carpet?
A, it's a real shark. It's a real shark. The people, I never knew about it. It was called, it's called a carpet shark, but the real name is tasseled wobble gong. And I was trying to convince like my husband that this exists, but it's actually true. And I think I did this like literally like earlier today and I'm ashamed of even talking about it. That's what I Googled.
Because you like cleaning so much. I thought you were actually mean like, you know, like shark vacuum.
Yeah. That's what I thought too. It's like, oh, okay.
It is a real family of the shark and it looks disgusting. But anyways, now you guys can say, hey, there's a carpet shark. I'm sure you guys will Google it later. Okay, so we're here with our signature question. Mm-hmm. So Dana, if you could be part of any TV show, what would it be?
So my current obsession right now is Yellowstone. So I would totally be, part of Yellowstone. Because I think, like, number one, like, after I started watching it, I'm like, okay, I need to visit Montana. I think it's, like, super cool. I've never been there. And I love the characters. The writing is really good. Like, Kevin Costner's incredible in it. And I find the story great. Like, I had a horse as a kid and stuff like that, so I do miss like horseback riding and everything like that. And it's kind of like if you look at that again, that ranch lifestyle, or that lifestyle where you're living in wide open spaces and stuff like that, I was just like, oh, that would be so cool. And then I mean, the characters are incredible.
I just started watching it and you're right. It's so good. Allison, I think I sent you a text about this, like Yellowstone, right? It's really, it's like, I'm only a few episodes in, and I think there's what, five seasons? Is there five
seasons? It's on season four. So Yeah. I'm so obsessed with this show. I like, but yeah, it's on season four and it like, it's, yeah.
I literally just started, but now I can see why you would want a piece of land like that. And have the horses. Like, I remember the first episode was like so jarring. I was like, wow, this is like crazy. Like,
yeah,
because the whole dynamic between the families and like the other people on the property. And then I won't talk too much because in case Allison watches it, but I'm just trying to figure out how they shot that like show. Like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, it's so much cinematography, yeah. Like the way they shot it. It's like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's beautiful. Definitely a pretty penny spent on that show. They have to, like, just to get it right.
I'm so excited to watch it. I love shows like that. And moving into our final question. Dana, if our listeners want to, how can they connect with you online?
So my, what's it called? My LinkedIn. So if it's work related, definitely on LinkedIn. I'm under Dana Hahn. I have several Instagram accounts. The main one that's Public is Style, Dana. And then I actually recently changed my Dana Hahn Legacy is my Twitter.
Okay, so if and you know what we'll do, we'll add those to anyone that's listening right now. We'll add those in for you as well, so you know where to connect with her.
Yeah, I also have a corporate Twitter account and a corporate Instagram account.
So many.
Yeah. I don't do TikTok though. I don't understand that at all. I
don't do anything. Well, we have a corporate TikTok, but I don't really do anything. Like I don't post anything myself, but I do like watching it. And this to me, it's like I like it because it's fast.
Yeah.
And also, like, I can keep an eye on, like, things that are happening with kids. And I'm like, oh, okay, let me find out what the trend is. And I'm like, it's scary. It's like, I shouldn't be looking at this. But anyways, it's actually really cool. It's really cool.
I like it. I like it a lot. Anyways, thanks so much, Dana, for joining us. I'm glad you could take the time out of your day and we got to know you a little bit better and, know some more stuff about you.
Thanks. Yes, that was awesome. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.